Sidra. There was a lot going on at the Vortex that night. Three dance pits, a Harmagian juggler, grass wine on tap. But Sidra hadn't missed the fact that something was bothering Tak. He was doing all the things organic sapients did in social places late at night. He'd been drinking and talking and flirting, which had been fun to watch. But though there was nothing outwardly wrong, something was needling him all the same.
"What is it?"
Sidra asked, pushing her voice through the music and chatter. Tak blinked.
"What's what?"
His words were clear, but slower than usual. Alcohol didn't make Aeluan slur, of course, but thinking through what words to run through the talk box took as much effort as trying to speak through a tipsy mouth. Sidra took a sip of her drink. Moonlight streaming behind a graceful white spider, weaving strand after strand of clear, strong silk. She savored the image, but never took her gaze off her friend. "Something's bothering you." Tak shrugged, but the yellow in his cheeks told a different story.
"I'm good."
The kit raised an eyebrow. The Aeluan sighed aloud.
"Are you having fun?"
"Of course I am. Aren't you?"
"I am, but I'm having fun without you. We came here together."
Sidra attempted to process, but came up short. "We are here together." She gestured at the table. "We are literally here together." Tak rubbed his silver scalp.
"You do this every time we go out. You find a corner table and sit with your back to the wall. You order a lot of drinks. No, two of them. The same. You watch everybody else having fun. Sometimes if you're feeling fancy, you switch it up and find a different corner table."
He went brown with thought.
"Do other people make you nervous? Is that it?"
"I don't understand the question. What was he getting at?" "I'm having a really good time."
"But you're just observing. You never participate."
"Tak," Sidra said, keeping her voice as low as she could, "you understand why that is. I don't require participation in order to be enjoying myself. Company and interesting input. That's all I need." He stared back at her with a gravity rarely achieved by the sober.
"I get that. But you are more than what they programmed you to be."
Tak threw back the remainder of his drink in one go.
"Come on," he said. "We're getting you some different input."
He took the kit's hand and led her away from the table. Other people did not make Sidra nervous, but this turn of events did. The comfort of the corner was gone, and the direction Tak was leading her in gave her pause.
"I don't know how to make the kit dance," she yelled.
A dangerous bit of phrasing, she knew, but there was a degree of safety to be had in being surrounded by loud music and drunk people. Tak looked over his shoulder and gave her a withering look.
"With all the hours of observation time you've clocked, you should have some idea by now."
He gestured at the dance pit.
"Besides, does anybody here look like they know what they're doing?"
The kit swallowed as she watched the bodies shake and sway. "Yes." Tak scratched his jaw.
"Well, okay, they do. But so do I."
He smiled at her.
"If you hate it, I'll take you right back to your corner and buy you any drink you want.
Sidra considered the kit's limbs, its neck, the curve of its spine. She had the ability to manage life support systems, hold dozens of simultaneous conversations, even dock a ship if emergency demanded it. She could handle a dance pit. Yes, she could do this. She pulled up every memory file she had of people dancing at parties past.
"You're buying me a drink, whether I hate this or not," she said.
Tak laughed and led her into the throng. Dance was curious in its near universality. Not all species had dance in their cultures, but most did, and those that did not quickly latched onto the idea once exposed to it. Even Aeluans, who would never hear music as others did, had traditional ways of moving together. Sidra had watched a lot of archival footage of dance, but fascinating as that was from a cultural perspective, she enjoyed the improvised madness of a multi-species gathering much more. In the pit, she'd observed, it didn't matter what your limbs looked like or how you liked to move. So long as there was a beat and warm bodies nearby, you could do whatever felt good. Sidra knew dancing wouldn't feel the same to her as it did to others, but maybe she could at least look good. Tak let go of the kit's hands and began to stomp his feet in an encouraging way. Sidra did a quick scan of her memories and found a file of a human woman she'd seen 16 days prior. It was as good a place to start as any. Sidra analyzed the file and fed her findings into the kit's kinetic systems. The kit responded, changing its posture into something Sidra hadn't experienced before. The limbs were no longer pressed close to the torso, the back no longer straight. What had been tension and angles was now a harmony of curves, rocking, swaying, shifting. Tak threw back his head, cheeks a mirthful green, laughter exploding from his talk box.
"I knew it," he said. "I knew it."
His hands went up in the air, and he cheered. A curious sense of delight began to warm up Sidra's pathways. This whole change in affairs was fascinating. The awareness of people behind the kit was as uncomfortable as ever, yes, but in this case, it was more of an irritation than a hindrance. Frustration with perception was a familiar feeling. Dancing was not. Presented with something new, she could easily ignore the everyday. The music played on and on, never slowing, never stopping. Sidra could not hear Tak breathing, but she could see it, hard and elated through his open mouth. A stranger appeared beside them, as if the crowd were an ocean washing someone ashore. It was one of the Aeluans Tak had been flirting with earlier, and her friend was clearly happy with the turn of events.
"Do you mind?" Tak's face asked.
"Of course not," the kit's face responded. Tak grinned, then turned his attention to the other Aeluan. They moved closer than friends, silver skin shimmering under the flashing lights. If the colors of the environment were communicating something erroneous to Aeluan eyes, they clearly didn't care. Sidra was happy for Tak, happy for this entire turn of events. She had 36 more dance memory files waiting on tap, and she couldn't wait to see how... Another stranger appeared. Two of them, rather. A pair of Andrisks. A green man, a blue woman. Feathers groomed perfectly. Considerate pairs of trousers hung around their broad hips. They looked at Sidra in tandem, excited and interested. The kit nearly misplaced its foot. There were dozens of sapients here. Why were they looking at her? Had she done something wrong? Had she maneuvered the kit incorrectly? Were they laughing at her? The Andrisks weren't laughing. Their faces were structured differently than the Aeluans entwined together nearby, but they had the same sort of look. Friendly, confident, inviting. They wanted to dance. Without a word spoken, they moved close to her, both facing the kit's front in a sort of snug triangle. From the trusting, easy way they touched each other while dancing, Sidra surmised they were of a feather family. But then, it was always hard to tell with Andrisks. She wasn't entirely sure how to proceed now that she was dancing with others rather than around them. But she stayed the course, grabbing files specific to platonic groups. The Andrisk woman leaned in toward the kit as they danced. "You're amazing!" she shouted. Sidra wasn't sure her pathways were capable of holding much more pride than what she felt right then. Her dance partners glanced at each other, communicating something Sidra could not know. They returned their gaze to her, their eyes asking a question she wasn't sure she understood. She nodded, yes, anyway. The Andrisks moved even closer, green and blue scales brushing against the kit's skin. They put their hands on it, and their touches became a dance all of their own, every bit as much as their swinging heads and tails. There were hands running down arms and claws in the kit's hair. An image appeared, brighter than any she'd experienced before. Light. Warm, life-giving light. Water lapping over her toes, sand cradling her body, holding her steady and safe. Sidra was at full attention. The image lingered, even though there was no food in her mouth, no jar of mech beneath her nose. It lingered as the Andrisk woman pressed her hips against the kit's. It grew as the man ran the flat of his palm down the kit's back. Sidra had never experienced a sensory image in this way before, but somehow she knew exactly what it meant. "Oh, no," she thought, and then, "Oh, wow." The image was almost overpoweringly good, and yet she had this hungry, impossible-to-ignore sense she hadn't seen all of it. She knew there were other images waiting behind it, every bit as good. The Andrisks nuzzled the kit, and she nuzzled back, wanting. A system alert went off, drowning out everything else within her. A proximity alert, the kind that warned of the sudden appearance of a nearby ship or an object that posed a collision risk. An all-powerful screaming alert triggered by someone behind her, someone she could not see, whose unknown hands were sliding over the kit's shoulders. Sidra shut the alert off as quickly as she could, but her pathways were sure her housing was in danger, and the kit had taken its cue. It was no longer dancing. It was throwing the hands off its shoulders. It was spinning around to see what the danger was. Another Andrisk. A man. Likely associated with the other two, but it didn't matter. It didn't matter. Her system knew only danger. "Whoa," the third Andrisk said. "Whoa, I'm so sorry." "Are you okay?" the Andrisk woman said. Sidra had to answer, but she couldn't get the words out. The kit was breathing too fast. She shook the kit's head. Tak was there, but from where, she couldn't tell. She couldn't tell anything. She couldn't see. She couldn't make sense. She just had that one narrow cone. And no, 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 don't do this. Don't do this now. Stop it. Don't ruin it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop! "It's okay," he said, putting an arm around the kit's shoulders. Sidra looked up at him, just in time to see him flash an apology toward his dejected dance partner. "See? You've ruined it. You've ruined it for him. I need to go home. I need to go away. I need to stop. Please." "Hey, Sidra. Sidra, come on. We'll get somewhere quiet, yeah? I'm here. It's okay." He led the kit through the crowd. She kept her gaze on the floor, trying to ignore the concerned stares. She wanted to disappear. "Is she okay?" It was the third Andrisk, pushing his way alongside them. "She's fine," Tak said. Sidra looked at the Andrisk man and tried to push words through the panicked breaths. It's not your..." The air got in the way. Damn it, she didn't need to breathe.
It's not your fault, Tack said. She'll be fine, thank you.
They cleared the pit, leaving the Andrisk behind. Tack barreled them through the crowd toward the table they'd occupied earlier. A group of Laru sat there now. Tack swore and headed for the exit.
Not outside, Sidra gasped. Not outside.
Tack changed course and entered the smoking room. A group of modders looked up from around a tall communal pipe.
Hey, man,
a human woman said, a smoking mouthpiece hanging in her mechanical hand.
Sorry, we just... She looked at Sidra. Dude, is she okay?
Tack visibly willed the concern away from his face and looked back at them with an easy smile.
Yeah, he said. Never buying smash from that vendor again, though. Synth shit, you know?
Oh, rough, the woman said. She got the shakes? Sidra forced the kit to nod at her. It was true, technically, just not in the way the modder meant.
Well, you're welcome to ride it out in here, the woman said.
She flicked her eyes over to Tack and gestured at the pipe.
Sorry about the red reed.
It's fine, Tack said. Sidra could see that his eyes were already starting to itch, as if this couldn't get any worse. Tack led the kit to a quiet corner, away from the smokers. Sidra sat the kit down. The fast breathing had stopped. All that was left was the overwhelming sense of embarrassment. She preferred hyperventilating.
I'm so, so sorry, she whispered. It's not your fault, Tack said, his talk box turning itself down.
I pushed. I'm sorry. You told me how you're comfortable, and I should have respected that.
It's okay, Sidra said, taking his hand with the kits. It was fun at first. I liked it. I just...
The kit put its face in its hands.
Stars, I am so tired of always making a mess of things for you.
Tack scoffed. Now that's just not true. We've been to how many parties?
8.
It was rhetorical, but thank you. This is the first time this has happened. It's also the first time somebody surprised you while dancing. So we know to avoid this next time.
One of the modders approached them with a cup of water. Here you go, he said, handing it to Sidra.
You're very kind, Sidra said, accepting it. She took a sip, for show. Water did nothing for her, but she was grateful for the gesture.
Take it easy, the human man said. We've all been there.
He gave a warm, slightly inebriated smile, then returned to his friends. Sidra stared into the cup, watching the ripples bounce off each other. I'm sorry for screwing things up for you, she said, remembering Tack's happy face when the other Aeluan started dancing with him. Tack looked confused, then laughed.
Ah, don't worry about it. That kind of thing will come around again.
He patted her hand.
Let's get you mellowed out, then I'll... take you home.
She started to object, started to tell him to stay, to have fun, to go get laid. But she didn't. She didn't want to head home alone. She couldn't be alone. There was no telling when there'd be another system alert, another well-meaning stranger sending her into a panic. Tack would hand her off to Pepper and Blue, who would hand her off to Tack again the next time she wanted to go out. Like a child. They didn't see her that way, she knew, but it didn't matter how nice they wanted to be to her. Being nice didn't change the way things were.